911, what's your emergency?
There's a woman. There's a body.
A woman's body, sir?
She's here. But not all of her. Not all of her.
Calm down, sir. Can you tell me if the woman is breathing?
She has her tail. She has no face.
I'm Ingrid Mendoza, and you're in Killer Country. This week, we're diving into the bizarre death of Mirabel Diaz. Mirabel dreamed of becoming a Hollywood actress, but trapped in the small seaside town of Mystic Bay, Florida, her options were limited. She'd book an occasional used car commercial or a clown at a child's birthday party, but legitimate opportunities were few and far between. Eventually, however, Mirabel found a path to acting in an unexpected place, Wild Tides Water Park. There, Mirabel donned a long silver tail and a shimmering tube top. 5 days a week, rain or shine, she'd swim in a massive glass tank, smiling at tourists and posing for pictures. At Wild Tides, Mirabel became Miss Mirabel, the magic mermaid of Mystic Bay. Then, on August 24th, 2012, everything changed. Hurricane Braden tore through Mystic Bay, destroying 65 homes, 34 Shake Shacks, and leaving at least one person missing, Mirabel Diaz. Frank Wild, the longtime owner of Wild Tides Water Park, was among the last to see her alive.
She was a pretty redhead. Some say she had webbed feet. She never wanted to talk. Now, I don't like to speak ill of the dead, but she was a little cold. Snobby, you might say. When the hurricane was coming, I told her, "Hey, sweetie, you can stay with me. Because, you know, this place is a fortress. I got hurricane shutters, sandbags, the whole shebang. A bunker with a sauna, screening room, bowling alley. Regulation bowling alley, do you understand? Yeah, the real deal. Yeah, I told her. I got 2 months worth of beans. Yeah, all kinds of beans, right? Black beans, kidney beans, pint toe beans, lima beans, soy beans, jelly beans. Yeah, I was worried, you know, because she lived all by herself. I owned the building she lived in, and I knew it was, I knew she wouldn't have beans. But she told me she'd be okay on her own. Maybe if she just stayed at my place. You know, you wonder what might have been. But she said no, she didn't even like beans.
I spoke with Frank at his home over three bean salad. From where we sat on an expansive back patio festooned with marble statues of dolphins, women, and dolphin women, we could see the very top of Wild Tide's Megalodon Mega Twister. It's a massive water slide, just over 100 feet tall, that shoots park visitors into the waiting jaws of a fiberglass megalodon.
Please, this park employs half the damn town easily. We added that big slide, the friggin' orcas. It's a sight to see, especially the mermaids. And Mirabel, well, she was the most popular one. You really just never think of something happening to a girl like that in a place like this. Well, except for that time when those kids got eaten during the alligator parade. Or the time the clowns went feral. Or that time when the old guy...
Behind us, something bumps hard against a glass wall.
don't mind her. That's Cannellini. Here, girl. Come here. Come on, sweet bean.
Frank Wild, heir to the Wild Bean Company fortune, is an avowed animal lover. His home, a concrete monolith rising from the steaming marsh, includes a massive glass pyramid teeming with all sorts of aquatic marvels, including, most notably, a 6-foot albino alligator named Cannellini.
He also owns a narwhal, 7 dolphins, roughly 16 flamingos, 3 tigers, 7 pythons, a wild boar, and several ostriches. Most are named after beans. Frank goes on.
I used to have a whole mess of macaws, too. But every hurricane, more of them escaped. Sometimes I still see them, flying over the house. I guess they wanted to be free. Yeah, whatever that means. Anyway, she was a nice girl. Sometimes. And it's a shame what happened.
Jessa Lynn Garcia, another mermaid at Wild Tides Water Park, remembers Mirabelle a bit differently.
She was just sweet as pie. She really was. And such a pretty little thing for a brunette. Oh, except for the gills. She was always giving me real nice tips, you know, about what to do with my clothes or my hair. She'd come up to me while we'd be putting our tails on and say something like, "Oh, Jessalyn, you know, you would look so good as a blonde." Or, "Oh, Jessalyn, don't go to that Shake Shack on August 24th. I had a vision." And, you know, she was always the second runner-up at pageants. Almost Miss Key Lime Pie. Almost the Orange Blossom Queen. Almost Ambassador to Kazakhstan. Yeah, people don't realize it, but it takes a lot of character to keep showing up after losing out over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm proud of my titles. Always will be. I don't take the honor of being the Orange Blossom Queen 6 straight years in a row lightly, but, you know, I admired Mirabelle, too. And she had a good heart. She'd volunteer all the time. She'd perform for the little old people down at the senior center, sing that song from that mermaid movie, "I'm in Your World," or whatever it's called. I don't know. My children only watch godly movies. But she'd sing that. She didn't have children, so maybe she didn't realize. Or a husband, which I also have, so. Oh, and she was a perfectionist. So she'd sing that same song over and over till she got it right. 20, 30 times. The old people would tell her she didn't have to, that she could stop at any time, but she was happy to do it. She was a natural performer. Oh, so gifted. I was never like that. I mean, you know, everyone's different. Some of us are more into the artistry of it all. I'm a Wild Tides Water Park mermaid because I believe it's important to provide families with wholesome, all-ages entertainment at an affordable price. But others, you know, they like the attention. Not that I'm blaming her for what happened. Gosh, no. She was a nice person. She didn't deserve that. Not at all. You just never think something like that would happen in a teeny little teensy-weensy town like Mystic Bay. I mean, besides that time that poor boy was pushed into that hydraulic press, or that old man who spontaneously combusted in the public's parking lot. But other than that, you just never think of bad stuff happening here. It was so sad what happened to her. Of course, we all suspected Jared. He was weird. He followed her around like a puppy. A weird puppy.
Mirabelle's disappearance left a mark on the minuscule town of Mystic Bay, with search missions tampered by downed power lines and felled trees. As days turned into weeks, the town's optimism began to fade. That said, losing hope is something of a custom for residents of Mystic Bay. For years, competing theme parks, virus outbreaks, daylight savings, and a quickly shifting culture led to a downturn in park numbers.
Hey, come on now. Wild Tides is still top quality. Some of the best damn entertainment in the state. I don't care what anyone thinks, right? But the fact of the matter is, kids don't go for that anymore. Yeah, they'd rather be on their phones playing Candy Crush or Roblox Adopt Me or Neil.Fun than at a park with their folks. So people stopped coming. And then, of course, that's when they found her. Or what was left of her.
What was left of Mirabelle was found by Jared Holt on November 15th, 2012, 3 months after she went missing. That's his voice you heard in the 911 call at the top of the episode.
She has her tail. She has no face.
When Chipco County Police arrived at the scene, they discovered a grisly sight. Mirabel Diaz, lodged in the jaws of the Megalodon Mega Twister, her mermaid tail curled daintily beneath her on the ancient beast's pink fiberglass tongue. The park's earliest attendees, a group of schoolchildren from the St. Brendan the Navigator Institute for Marine Biology, followed Jared's gaze, the park's famed mermaid staring back at them. That is, if she could have stared back. Jessa Lynn Garcia remembers the day vividly.
Oh, he was all cat and tonic when he first saw her. You know, like he couldn't move or blink or say a single word. Oh, poor thing. He just stood there, looking into the hole where her face had been. It was all sunk in. A pit. No offense to Mirabel, but you know, I think it was the worst I've ever seen her look. And it was the first day since the hurricane that the park was open to the public. That's what's so sad about it. November is always a slow month. The water's cold, the sun sets early. It's peak season for the flesh-eating algae that sometimes grows on the lazy river inner tubes. But we lost so much money because of the storm that we were all just so excited for the park to open back up again. And someone had just up and shoved poor little old Mirabel into the big old shark's mouth. How's that for taking the steak right out of your popsicle?
Now, Jessa Lynn had a pretty good idea of who was responsible. But first, speaking of popsicles, when's the last time you enjoyed a mouthful of fresh, home-cooked food? Between work and errands, there's never time to cook a proper meal. That's where Dinner Dash comes in. Dinner Dash is a weekly meal delivery service focused on fresh, organic ingredients with recipes chosen by real chefs. Best of all, Dinner Dash meals never expire. Using our secret technology, we have made eggs that last forever. Get 20% off your first Dinner Dash weekly meal kit with code KILLER20. Dinner Dash, meals that are eternal. Back to the case. Here's Jessa Lynn.
Now, the first thing you gotta understand about Mystic Bay is that it's a small town. You know, real small. Itty bitty. So everyone knows everyone here. I went to school with Jared and Mirabel, worked alongside them here at the park. And Jared, well, I can say this, right? Because I know him. He's probably just about the worst mascot we've ever had. The only reason he kept his job is because no one else wanted to wear the costume. And when I say he wanted to wear the costume, I mean he really, 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 really wanted to wear the costume. Like, really. Like, not in a God-honoring way.
Jared Holt had dressed as Wild Tides Water Park's iconic mascot, Manny the Manatee, since dropping out of Mystic Bay High School in 1999. His costume consisted of a massive suit carved of fleece and foam, complete with flippers, a floppy headpiece, and Manny's signature orange flip-flops. All told, the costume weighed in at a staggering 140 pounds and was said to have reached internal temperatures of up to 100 degrees, 310 Kelvin in the searing Florida heat. Past Manny the Manatees have been recorded passing out from the extreme temperature, including one Manny who, in 1973, collapsed face first into a child's birthday cake, and another who, in 1985, became partially baked within the suit while conducting a water safety demonstration at the park's wave pool. For years, Wild Tides Water Park officials could not find workers willing to put on the suit.
Whoa. Change the design? Yeah, no. Out of the question. That Manny the Manatee suit was designed by my own daddy, Frank Wild Sr. Jr. He had two dreams: to sell quality beans at affordable prices across the continental United States of America, and to make a true man-manatee hybrid he referred to as the Humanity. And that damn suit? That's the second closest he ever got to it. So no, I'd never change it. If you think the suit's too heavy or too stinky or too what have you, well, that's a personal failing. Man up. And manatee up. Come on, change the suit? What are you kidding me with this?
You could smell the suit before you saw it. I'd say it was closest to... You ever have a Florida-style pizza? Well, you take a handful of saltine crackers and sort of spread them out on a paper plate with spray cheese, turtle jerky, and a little bit of gas station pickle, and a sprinkling of boiled peanuts. Just leave it out for a little bitty bit, let the sunshine do its magic, and voila, you got yourself a meal. Now, it's delicious, but you'll be smelling it for about a mile, 2 miles out if the wind hits just right. I don't really eat that sort of food, personally. The Manny the Manatee suit smelled sort of like that. Like Florida-style pizza. Or rotten broccoli.
Despite the suit's numerous downsides, there was one person more than willing to don it around the park. Jared Holt.
Jared, well, he strayed from the light of the Lord. I can tell you that much for nothing. Tampering with the divine design. He had a lot of off predications. He was a fuzzy.
I met with Jared Holt at the Chipco County Jail. It's a small, peach-colored structure across from a former Sears-turned-Spirit Halloween.
I first learned about it online. I've always liked to draw. Kind of. Like, funny animals. Or animals with, like, bazooka arms. Just funny stuff, you know? Whatever pops into my head. Like, maybe I'll draw a manatee with big muscles and bazooka arms. Or maybe I'll feel more like drawing a bazooka that shoots out manatees with, you know, really huge muscles. There's a lot of symbolism there, if you think about it. Not that a lot of people think about it. I have a real respect for all Sirenians. That's the term for aquatic mammals like manatees and dugongs, by the way. Sirenian. You know, like a siren, like a mermaid. You know, they think sailors invented mermaids because they saw manatees out in the water and fell in love with them.
I asked Jared whether his appreciation for Sirenians extended to Mirabelle. He grows quiet, sullen, and then...
Mirabelle, no. I don't think of her that way. She was pretty, sure. Long, pinkish hair, cross-eyed. She was a friend to me. Nothing less, nothing more. After all, she was the one to pull me out of that pool drain.
The incident to which Jared is referring occurred in June of 2001 and has since become local legend around the microscopic town of Mystic Bay. Jared Holt, then 19, had gone on break. Like many wild-tide water park workers fighting the miasmic heat of a June afternoon with can after can of fluorescent yellow alcoholic energy drinks, he suffered a lapse in judgment. Against park rules, he stripped off his heavy mascot suit and, accompanied by several other intoxicated park employees, dove into the inviting aqua-colored waters of the Wild Tide wave pool. Jessalyn, like nearly everyone else in the unbelievably tiny town of Mystic Bay, has heard every detail of what transpired that fateful afternoon.
The wave pool? Oh, my stars in heavens. Well, we're not supposed to be fraternizing with the customers, the parkgoers. That's the first thing. It's important to have boundaries, or else the customers will try to get away with every little thing, from bringing corn dogs on the water slide to putting their bits and pieces in the jellyfish tank. And then there's the fact that Manny the Manatee should never be seen at a costume. That's the second thing. It scares the little children, seeing a bright pink human man wearing nothing but swim trunks and a manatee mascot head. It's unnatural. And then, of course, there's the prophecy. That's the third thing.
But first... When it comes to looking out for your future, do you know who to trust? Invest in your tomorrow today with Chipco County Bank and Loan. With Chipco County Bank and Loan, you can rest assured your money is working as hard as you are using the power of state-certified psychic accountants. Astrological accounting harnesses the power of the planets to grow your wealth astronomically. Open an account today and receive a complimentary framed birth chart. Aries in your second house, Pisces in your eighth. It's no matter. With Chipco County Bank and Loan, even Gemini placements can look forward to financial security. And if you use code KILLER50 within 30 days, you can receive an extra $50 cash bonus just for signing up. CHIPCO County Bank and Loan. We'll have you seeing stars. And now, back to the case.
The prophecy, as everyone knows, foretells the return of a creature known only as the Anomaly. Its name cannot be uttered by human tongues, and human minds cannot conceive of its form. And the Anomaly starves for the flesh of non-believers. Every 130 years, like clockwork, it returns to feed. Like, even little kids know this, right? What happens is, you go into the wave pool, you hold onto your boogie board, you hear the murmurs, and you heed those dang murmurs, Miss Ma'am. I'll tell you that much. You heed the dang-on murmurs.
Well, sure, yeah, I knew about the prophecy. But you've got to keep in mind, hundreds, if not tens of people go into that wave pool, and most of them come out totally fine. So, I guess, you know, I thought I'd be okay. And then I got stuck in the pool drain. Just part of me.
And it was none other than Mirabel Diaz who saved Jared from developing the same pelvic vestige as his beloved Sirenians.
She dove right in and pulled me out by the manatee head. Everyone else just stood by the edge of the pool yelling, "Prophecy! Prophecy!" But Mirabel acted. She did something. She saved my life.
Back to Jessa Lynn.
They said he came out of that pool drain with a pop. Like that. And I mean, look, was it a good thing he didn't drown dingle first in that cursed wave pool to feed the insatiable, horrible force that rules over a universe of dying planets? Yes. And also, no. Because the Anomaly will always get what it wants. Always.
From that point on, Jared and Mirabel were said to be inseparable. The beautiful mermaid always followed closely by the familiar scent of sweat-infused foam.
At first, it was just really that I was grateful. I mean, Mirabel wasn't ever exactly nice to me before that. She'd never so much as looked in my direction. Mermaids and mascots, they don't really mix, you know? So I sort of helped her around the park a bit, just as a thank you. I'd wheel her around when she had her tail on. Steal snacks for her sometimes. She loved Funyuns. Sometimes we'd play a game where she pretended to be like a seal or something, and I'd toss Funyuns into her mouth. Although I wanted to be the seal, she said no, she was the seal, and I couldn't have any Funyuns. But mostly we got along surprisingly great. I even drew a picture of her as a muscly manatee with a bazooka. She said it was dumb, but...
At this point, Jared begins to sob. As I give him a moment to compose himself, I think about the impact Mirabel Diaz had on such a nano-sized town as Mystic Bay. What is a girl to a town? What value does she have beyond her first runner-up sash, beyond her radiant smile in the gloomy blue mermaid tank? To Frank, she was a pretty face, a moneymaker, perhaps not so different from the orcas and the nurse sharks. To Jessa Lynn, she was a rival, a wave building on the horizon. And to Jared, she was part savior, part muse, a complicated mixture of things like so many of his drawings. Jared wipes away his tears with the back of one hand and continues.
She said the drawing was super dumb. I think she even laughed at me. It hurt, I guess, a lot. But when I went to clear out her locker, you know, after finding her on the slide, I saw it. There it was, taped to the inside of her locker. It was the only thing she had in there.
And that changed something in Jared.
That's when I decided I'd find her killer myself. I'd be a detective. Like a dugong detective. A Sirenian sleuth. A manatee on a mission. I vowed that I would solve her murder if it was the last thing I did.
And, as it turned out, Jared was fairly adept at uncovering clues and lies. But first... Are you bored at home, at work, at school, at a wedding? Don't worry, because Neil.fun has got you covered. With dozens of games to choose from, Meal.fun is the internet's one-stop shop for home entertainment and life enrichment. 1 hour a day of Meal.fun usage has been shown to cure boredom, memory loss, and death itself in lab rats. That's right. Just 1 hour of Meal.fun usage has been shown to stop father time and prevent aging. Best of all, it's completely free and accessible right from your browser. No downloads required. Ask your parents for permission to log on today.
Cops arrived at the scene. I want to say like 3 hours after, maybe four. Apparently, they were busy with another murder. Some kids pushed the giant bean off the top of the Wild Bean Company factory and onto an old lady. She exploded like a piñata, they say. They found her wig around here, actually. One of the flamingos was wearing it. Yeah, but anyway, after the cops finally arrived and cleared away the screaming elementary school kids, they wanted to talk to me. They asked me if I knew anything about Mirabelle. If I knew anything about the slide. Like, yeah, of course I know Mirabelle. And of course I know about the slide. Look, Mystic Bay is a nanoscopic town. Real small. Everyone knows about the Megalodon Megatwister. It's the sickest slide in the whole park. Maybe in all of central southeastern Florida. You shoot straight down into the shark's mouth. It's crazy fun. But yeah, we lose maybe 6, 7, 24 people on it every year. Like, literally lose. That's not just a turn of phrase. They go down the slide and they never come out. Some say the slide is a portal to hell. Some say it's the point at which two parallel universes actually meet, and all those lost screaming tourists slide off to exist alongside an alternate self in a world slightly different from our own. And some say the entire park is actually built on the body of the anomaly, each slide like an organ, a fleshy tube that leads straight into the being's dark, cavernous belly. But here's the thing. No one's actually gotten stuck in the shark's mouth before. Mirabelle was lodged between two long fiberglass teeth. You can't reach those teeth by sliding down. Someone clearly put her there. Deliberately.
Jessalyn Garcia is also very familiar with the slide's unique properties.
Oh, golly, yeah. The slide's a funny thing, really. You know, Mirabelle actually lost her cousin Rocky on that very same slide. I remember, because I was there. We all were. A hot summer day, real hazy-like. Some kids had snuck a Florida-style pizza into the park, dropping saltines and sprayed cheese everywhere. A whole mess. Rocky was up at the top of the slide hollering something dumb. Cowabunga bungholes is what I think he said. Now, mind you, I'm just quoting him because I believe in accuracy. I never really talk like that, you know, just so you know. Anyway, so Rocky slid down the Megalodon Megatwister, twisting in a mega sort of way and yelling all sorts of colorful language, and then, bloop. We never saw him again. And that's just how the slide is. Like I said, if the anomaly wants something, it'll get it. No matter what.
But death doesn't hide all secrets, and one more would soon come to light. To determine who exactly placed Mirabelle Diaz inside the Megalodon Megatwister's twisted Megalodon Mega Mouth, Jared had to infiltrate the crime scene.
I went back at night. The police had taped up the crime scene, but fortunately, they had to go look into another murder. A chimp named Margarita had ripped the face off the sign spinner outside the Dizzy Dugong all-night topless buffet and pest control. Usually, Margarita would hold up a second smaller sign, like the main sign spinner would spin a sign saying, you know, 2-for-1 drinks all night, and the chimp would spin one saying, trust us, you're gonna need them. And I guess they got into a spin-off, and then Margarita got mad and just, you know, took it too far. Topless don't mean faceless. I don't care who you are. But anyway, the coast was clear. The cops were busy trying to find handcuffs tiny enough for the chimp. So I crawled into the Megalodon Megatwister shark mouth and that's when I saw it.
What Jared found within the fiberglass shark's glossy massive jaws would change the entire course of the investigation.
In the shark's mouth, I found purple sparkles. Now, Mirabelle only ever wore a silver sequin tube top. Purple? That color was worn by a different mermaid entirely. That orange blossom lady.
Jessalyn Garcia.
Kill her? Me? Okay, now think about that for just one little bitty moment.
I weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. How could I possibly murder Mirabel Diaz, lift her, carry her through the Megalodon Mega Twister surrounding fences, and then raise her up into the shark's mouth? That thing is about 30 feet above the ground, honeydew. I could never do it. And I wouldn't kill her anyway. With these nails, please.
I asked Jared about this. How could Jessa Lynn, or anyone for that matter, have lifted Mirabel Diaz into the jaws of the giant megalodon? As it turns out, his investigation produced an interesting theory.
Well, that's just the thing. Jessa Lynn didn't put her there. The orcas did. I've drawn enough muscular orcas with bazookas to know they are incredibly strong. And I know that the orca tank is close enough to the water slide that an enterprising orca could, conceivably, flip a body through the air in such a way that it lands, you guessed it, right in the shark's mouth. And I know this is not only possible, but probable, because I found something else in the shark's mouth that night. Defrosted squid. As in, orca lunch. As in, stuff that is only found in and around the orca tank. Now, there are several reasons why an orca might want to kill Mirabel. First, it may have thought she was a seal, which is like Wagyu to an orca. She was, after all, wearing her tail. Or maybe it was trying to play with her and accidentally killed her. Happens all the time. Or maybe the orcas had enough of humans stuffing them into tanks and making them perform little tricks for sunburned snowbirds. And they snapped. Or maybe the orcas are simply agents of the anomaly. The soft universe within their animal bodies uniquely attuned to the murmurs of that hidden world beneath our own. Perhaps the anomaly knew that Mirabel had saved me in the wave pool and hated her for it. And it enacted its revenge through the orcas. We'll never truly know. But the real question is, how did Mirabel get in the tank? Why was she near it to begin with? Well, the purple sequin would suggest that Jessa Lynn pushed her in. For obvious reasons. I would have tried to find out more, but that's when the security guard came back from the bathroom and, well, now I'm here, at the jail. And there's another question we still haven't answered. What the heck happened to Mirabel's face? Why was it pushed in? An orca wouldn't do that. Not even if it had a bazooka.
I asked Jessa Lynn about this orca theory. And what she makes of the purple sequin found at the crime scene. Wasn't this all so very strange?
I'd say that Jared comes up with strange things, but really, nothing strikes me as strange anymore. Not really. Yeah, there was a guy, I don't remember the name, who had built a small castle for the neighborhood stray cats. Technically, it was a hoarding situation. You could smell Cat Castle from about a mile away if you were standing downwind. Then there was a lady who kept setting fires, which isn't that weird, you know, in and of itself, but she said the fire was how she talked to the devil. Got messages from him. Apparently, he told her to set up a dental practice. She got pretty rich doing that, you know, so maybe she was onto something. But anyway, no, I don't find it strange. People say strange things all the time. Orcas, tanks, that's none of my business.
Unable to find answers through Jared or Jessa Lynn, I visit the water park on my own. After closing, it's dark. The air is thick with humidity. The animals are sleeping somewhere unseen, dreaming their animal dreams. I've read somewhere that orcas sleep with one hemisphere of their brains, the other half remaining awake, attuned, alert. I think about this as I look up at the dark monolith formed by the Megalodon Mega Twister. It's true that it's close enough to the orca tank that a body might be thrown from one to another. I take pictures. My flash creating eerie forms, carving figures into the wet western central Florida night. And then, I see it. It's tossed just beneath a photo stand where tourists can pose as if smiling from inside a shark's jaws. A dark, glossy rectangle, just beside the shark's painted fin. A cell phone. Jessa Lynn's cell phone. The Eden Pharmaceutical logo tips me off. Back at my motel room, I charge the phone, waiting. And then, I find everything I need. The footage shows Mirabel, alive and waving. The palm trees around her are blowing. The storm will touch land in a few hours, but for now, she's windswept, leaning against the orca tank. A sparkly acrylic nail comes into view. It's Jessalyn, holding the phone. Here's audio from the video.
Okay, now if you turn like this, right to the left. Yeah, that way your chin won't look so, you know, robust. Oh, that's right, pretty! Oh, the casting director is just going to love you, girl. You're definitely the next Little Mermaid on ice.
And then it happens. Margarita, the face-ripping chimp, lands atop Mirabelle's windswept head, screaming. The murderous ape has transformed a novelty t-shirt into a sort of makeshift parachute, the winds just strong enough to fly her across the paltry, teeny-tiny town of Mystic Bay. Mirabelle attempts to fight off the ape as Jessalyn continues recording. Then, who should appear but Frank Wilde, drunk and riding a golf cart with several extremely blonde women.
That chimp's got my t-shirt, screams one.
Frank loses control of the golf cart and it makes contact with Mirabelle, sending her and the ape flying into the orca tank. The chimp proceeds to ride the orca, waving the novelty t-shirt in the air. Poor Mirabelle is then flipped into the air by the bucking orca 1, 2, 3 times before somersaulting directly into the smiling jaws of the megalodon. At this point, the blonde woman has located her t-shirt. It features a large lizard in sunglasses. Above it, the word, "Iguana, have a good time." I confronted Jessalyn about the video.
Mystic Bay. I mean, it's a tiny town. Minuscule. Do you know what her disappearance did to this place? I mean, I know you're in the business of crime. Beautiful missing girls. Beautiful dead girls. Everyone cares about the beautiful dead girls. It should have been me. I was the orange blossom queen, not her. And here she was, about to get a part in a real Hollywood, Florida production while I'm juggling two jobs to raise Brayden, Jaden, Caden, and Aiden. It wasn't fair. I buried the phone in the ground. I smashed it. I didn't think anyone would ever find it, but it's hard to dig too far with these beautiful nails. Oh, Mirabelle, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And so the strange, sad case of Mirabelle Diaz became stranger and sadder. A beautiful doll in a shimmering tale. I thought about secrets while looking back on my interview with Frank Wilde. The sun had begun to set behind the rotting remains of the Megalodon Megatwister, the sky turning peach and purple. There's a new hurricane, they say, brewing out in the Atlantic. But here, this evening, with the light washing Wilde's compound in amber, violence seems impossible. As I readied myself to return to my rental car, Frank pointed something out. The wild macaws flying overhead. I thought about these pet birds, made wild once again. I thought about the tigers, Cannellini pacing in her cage. I thought about the wayward pythons twisting their way through the crabgrass. At my motel, I watched the phone footage of Mirabelle again. She was beautiful. Maybe she'd also been a little cold, like Frank had said. Maybe she'd been helpful and sweet. Maybe she was a good friend and a bad listener, a model employee and an average student. But she'd had dreams, and now they'd come true. Mirabelle Diaz had become famous. I'm Ingrid Mendoza, and you've been listening to Killer Country. Killer Country is produced by Wild Hair Media and by supporters like you. Thank you for listening. And stay safe out there. It's a killer country after all.